Today's shir is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Pei Ches. We will begin on Daf Pei Zayin on the Beis. Two lines from the bottom. El Abai Bar Oven Rav Chanina Bar Avin Dharma Tavayu. Trying to explain what is the situation of our Mishnah, where we found in our Mishnah Machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding somebody who sent his child with a jar to get oil, will he be, and then he sent it back, the chenvani sent it back, will the chenvani be held responsible or not? Racham hold that the chenvani is held responsible, Yehuda held that he's not. And the Gemara has been trying to identify what is the case that our Mishnah refers to that we could try to understand based on understanding what is the case that we're speaking about, what is the machloikis in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Abai Barav, Rav Chanina Barav, and Dami Tavayu, Hochem Ma'eskinen, our Mishnah is referring to a situation about jars that were used to measure in. Kigon Shinot Lamed Bay. The Chenveni took this jar to measure how much oil he should give to the child. At that point, he became responsible. And he should not have given it to the child. Even though it was an Aved Midas, the father should have not sent this child with the jar. Ukudirava, and this is what Rava taught us, the Amar Rabba, that Rabba told us that if a Talmud Chacham sees something lost, and the halacha is that under certain circumstances, that even though there's a halacha of Ashavas Aveda, that we have to return a found item. The Torah HaKadosh, when it speaks about this halacha, says, Leisira eshar achicha eseyoi nidachim. If you don't see your friend's animal lost, don't v'salam to mehem, that and make and ignore it. And from here to Gemara, we learned in Masechta Baba Metzi, that Lamed Amud Aleph teaches us, pa'amim sha'ata mesalam mehem. Sometimes the right thing is that you should ignore it. The Gemara gave examples. If the person who found it is a Kohen and what's lost is in a Beis HaKfaris, and of course a Kohen may not enter into a Beis HaKfaris, or we learned a Zaken v'en al-fi kfaidai, we speak about a Zaken who it's not towards his covered, and we explain that how do we know that? We see if this was this Talmud Chacham's object, would he go to the bother of returning it, or he wouldn't? And the Gemara says that Omer Rabba, so Rabba there in Masechta Baba Metzia taught us that if he ignores it, as we just said, under certain circumstances, he may ignore it. But he kisha, if he hits it, nischayibah, then he becomes responsible. And here too, even though the father, the chevani under normal circumstances, would not be held responsible, because by the father giving it to the child, it's a situation of aveda midas. If the chevani took it from the child, at that point, once the chevani takes it from the child, at that point, he becomes responsible. Similar to the zaken who didn't have the responsibility to take it, to pick this up, but once he did, he becomes fully responsible. And that's why the Chenveni in our Mishnah says, the Gemara, at that point, everybody would agree he's held responsible. But ask the Gemara, Eimad Amar Rabba, where did Rabba say his halacha? B'balchaya, by animals. Then kinu nigger b'raisa, that the moment this person, who was exempt from the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, hit it, so he got the animal accustomed to walk, and therefore he became responsible, even though he could have avoided being responsible. But ask the Gemara, in our Gemara, Kai Gavna, where the Chenveni just took the jar from the child, why should that make him be held responsible? And Rashi Masechta Baba Metzia explains the Gemara. The Rashi explains that once the Zaken started holding the animal, he already began the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And once he began the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda by touching the animal, he has no right to stop. And the Gemara is saying that that is in the case of an animal. Once you pick up the animal starts to walk. But otherwise, you wouldn't be held responsible. Because at that, once you have the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, you have to complete the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. I saw that the Truma Sakri has a little different explanation. He says, what's the reason we have exempted this zaken from taking care of the animal? So the reason we've exempted the zaken is because it's ein lefi kvoidoi. But if this zaken has began to work with the animal, obviously it's not a situation of ein lefi kvoidoi. If it were a situation ein lefi kvoidoi, why did he start doing what he did? So once it's not in a situation of ein lefi kvoidoi, he has the full-fledged chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda. Darach HaShulchan says this a little better. He says, once that the Torah gave the Zaken an exemption, as we're learning, Pam Shatim Saling, but not to every Zaken and not to every situation is the exemption stated. And once the Zaken began working with the animal, says Darach HaShulchan, that becomes a situation where we don't have the heter of ein lefi kvoidoi. So I saw that the stipler in Masechet Baba Kama asks a question. He says that we know that the chiyuv of shmira, the chiyuv that a person has to protect another person, emanates from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And the iser of being mazik. When we began Masechet Baba Kama, we had a discussion, from where do we know that there's an iser to be mazik? So we learned that if there's a chiyuv Hashavas Aveda, there's certainly an iser to be mazik. So ask the stipler, but now that we're learning in our shir, that for a zok v'en elfi kvaidai, there is no chiyuv Hashavas Aveda, where will we know that a zaken is not allowed to be mazik? So he explains based on our Gemara. Our Gemara just taught us that even though the zaken is exempt from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, it isn't a total exemption. It's only stated under certain circumstances. What that means, explains the stipler, that just like in our Gemara, once the zaken hekisha b'mako is chayiv, and Hashavas Aveda, even though he's not obligated to do active Hashavas Aveda, as we're learning, he is still not allowed to be mazik, because he doesn't have a total exemption from Hashavas Aveda. It's a limited exemption, and it doesn't allow him to do hezik. Says the Gemara, El Amar Rava, we're back to question. Aniva Arisha B'Chabura Tabrigminu, we explained the Mishnah, and who is the Sarisha Chaburi he refers to? He says, Reb Zera, the Chemveni took this jar to measure out wine oil, lacherim, not for the father of this child. And now we learn a new halacha. Now, the machlokes is, what happens if you borrow something without permission of the owner? How does the halacha look at this individual? Marsov, Reb Yehuda's opinion is, shoyl havi. He's considered a shoyl. And if he puts it back to where he took it, so every shoyl finishes his obligation of shayla as soon as he gives it back from whom he took it. So if he gave back the tzluchis to the child, he took it from the child, and that's good enough. Well, Masov, whereas the Chacham's opinion is, gazlani. He's a gazlan. And he's not exempt until he gives it back, not only until he puts it back, but until the person who he stole it from knows that he gave it back to him. Because the Torah says, V'heshev es egzela asher gozal. Since here, if he gave it back to the child, he hasn't given it back to the father, so it's not considered a situation of hashava. And since it's not considered a situation of hashava, that's why he will be, say the Chachamim, the Schemveni will remain responsible. So here we learn a halacha about when is it considered that you're supposed to return. So at what point is it considered that you have to that it's returned or not? So the Rishonim point out that even though the halacha is like Shmuel, we're going to be discussing the opinion of Shmuel in a moment, that Shor Shlemidas Gazlin. So what would be the halacha if somebody borrows somebody else's tefillin? And the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way, that I'm allowed to take your talis tefillin under normal circumstances, because noyach loy l'adam, people are satisfied shetiasa mitzvah m'moynei, that your something you own should be the subject that I should be able to do a mitzvah. Then the question is, do I have to let you know that I gave it back? Or if I just put it back from where I took it, that it's good enough. So the Ritva says that this halacha of Shor Shlemidas, Nikra Gazlin, and you haven't fulfilled your obligation until you put it back from where you took it, is only when you had no right to take it. But if you put it back, if you had a right to take it, as we just learned because of the situation of Shor Shlemidas, because Noich Loyle Adon Shemitzvah Manoi, then the halacha is that as soon as you put it back, everybody will agree that that's satisfactory. And says the Gemara, Gufa Mishmul, Hanoitel Kliman Umin Levakroi, if somebody picks up something in a store in order to look at it, the Nanis Biyodai, and it falls and it breaks, Chayiv, the person who picked it up, is Chayiv, because it's considered that you became the owner of this object, and now you're Chayiv for any damages, because you have to pay the person who you got it from for something that you broke. But, says the Gemara, when is this halacha said? This halacha of Shmuel is only said by something that has a fixed price. So everybody knows that this is the price. And since it has a fixed price, the moment you pick it up, the moment that you picked it up, that's enough that you should become obligated. But the Rishonim add a number of conditions. One condition, the Gemara Masechta Nedarim teaches us, that it's something which is something which everybody, which many people want to buy. So a sort of seller has no problem selling this money, this object. Since he has no problem selling this object, then the halacha is that as soon as I pick it up and it has a price, it becomes mine. There's an interesting question that the Rishonim already debate. What does it mean that it has a price? Does it mean that this person who's selling the item has put a price on it? Or is it enough that this is a well-known price that everybody knows that this object costs this money, this much? So even though it wasn't told to us in this store that this is this price, since that's the knowing going price, it's good enough. That now explained the Rishonim, that what does it mean that the person who picked it up is responsible? So the Rishonim point out the responsibility is only regarding Oinsim. If something happens, he's responsible. But he's not considered, some Rishonim suggest he's not considered a full-fledged owner, but it seems from the Gemara that he's considered a full-fledged owner. So this obviously opens up a question. What's the halacha if somebody walked into a store and picked up something fragile, and before he paid to buy it, picked it up, it broke? Is he obligated to pay for it or not? So the Shas HaTshuvos Mishnah Halachos, Chelek Yudalid Simon Reish Tezayin discusses this, and he says, again, that it depends on what type of object. And he says, if it has a fixed price and it's something that is very sellable, that then the halach is you will be held responsible. He says, however, he says that in a place where it's not so obvious, where people pick up things, even though they're very good items and they have a price, but people most nowadays, when they pick up things, they're looking at them. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to buy it the halacha may be that you're not responsible. And actually, he suggests that we have to really hear from the buyer what were his intention to know if he'll be held, to know if he will be held responsible or not. It says the Gemara, "Hu gavda ala bei tefcha," a person that walked into a butcher shop, "Vagma atma de bisra," and he picked up a piece of meat. "Bada da agba," as he picked it up, "osa prisha mirma minei," there was somebody riding on a horse and grabbed it away from him. "Osla kamedra of yimya," and now the question is he responsible to pay or not? So says the Gemara, "Osla kamei de Rav Yema," this butcher and this customer went to Rav Yema, and Rav Yema said, he has to pay, it became his. However, says the Gemara, "Hanimili, this halacha is only applicable the kitze deme when it has a firm price." Says the Gemara, "Hu gavad isakar lefum nahara," there was a person that brought cucumbers to from nahara, "osa kula alma," and everybody came, "v'shokul kara kara," people picked up cucumbers to buy them. However, the seller of these cucumbers could not keep track of who took what. Amalu, and he said, in order to be able to take control of the situation, he made an announcement. Harei emukadosh l'shmaim, they're all hegdish, and therefore you can't have it. Asal kamedra of kahana. So this question came to Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, Amaluhu, ein adam magdish tovish ena shaloi. And based on Shmu, once they picked it up, it becomes theirs, and once they picked up its theirs, he has no right anymore to be magdishit. And this points out to Rishonim is a raya that when Shmuel says that when you pick it up, it becomes yours, the way to understand that halacha, it becomes completely yours. And since it becomes completely yours, the other person cannot be magdishit anymore. However, says the Gemara, when is this said, as we've been learning, v'hani mili hu d'kitzi d'mayu, if it's something that has a firm price. Avloi kitzi d'mayu, if it does not have a firm price. B'shus marayu kaimei, it's still in the property of the original owner. B'shapa agdishin, he had a right to be magdishit. Even though, asked the Rishonim, the Rashbam, that the Gemara throughout Shas says that you have to have two conditions to be able to be magdish something. A, you must be the owner of this object. B, it has to be under your control. So, how was he able to be magdish them, even though he still owned them, but they weren't under his condition, under his control? So says the Rashbam, it was under his control, because if the people know that their kinyan and these objects is not a real kinyan, so they intend to give it back. Since they intend to give it back, it's considered still under the seller's control. Tana Bonim, Halakeach Yerek Minashok. If somebody who's a chaver, we know throughout Shas, we have individuals who are called chaverim. These were people who are scrupulous in the halacha. Somebody buys a vegetable in the shuk, and he buys it from a farmer who's an amoritz, that we have to be concerned to not take off trumas and maestras. So the halacha is, the beer, he's picking fruits and vegetables, v'niach, and he puts it on the side, without full-fledged intention to buy it. So says the Gemara, Filo kol yom kuli, if he did this all day long, like Kana, he isn't the owner of these produce, and therefore he's not chayv maisa, because he did not have any intention to buy it. However, if he did intend to buy it, then the chayv maisa becomes chayv maisa. Now, says the Gemara, we have a serious dilemma. What's the dilemma? Lachziroi e efsher, to give it back to the Amoritz, he can't. He already has an obligation to take off Meiser once he became the owner of it. And there's halacha throughout Shas. Chazoka al chaver, she'enem eretz mitachas yodoi. We could be concerned. A chaver never gives away something. She'enem esukin. So once he became the owner of this produce, he has no right to let it out of his possession unless trumas and Meisers were removed. Everybody agrees that the truma has to be removed. There is a discussion about Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani. La'asroi, so we'll say, okay, take off Meiser. Says the Gemara, that isn't an option either. Once you'll take off the trumas and maaseris, there's less than you started with. Hakeitzad, what must he do? Masroi, he takes off the maaser, whatever amount that is, and the noisloi, so even if he doesn't want to keep the produce, but he has to take off trumas and maaseris and give the owner that he's buying it from the value of those trumas and maaseris. Ask the Gemara, otam mishum de gama beliba liknois. Just because he had intention, he didn't do any kinyan. We just decided. And even Shmuel, who says that it's considered yours, only said if you made a kinyan. But here he just thought he's going to buy it. Kanav and the Schai b'maiser, why should it be Schai b'maiser? Answers the Gemara, Am Rabbi Shia, Hacha b'Yerushmayim Eskinen. Our Mishnah speaking, our Gemara here is speaking about a person who's a Yerushmayim. And even though he did not do a kinyan, the fact that he intended to buy it, that is enough to make him chayiv im meiser. Where's the case? Where do we find such a behavior? So the Gemara Kigayim Rav Safra, the kain benafshi v'doiva b'emes b'lvavai. The Gemara tells us where Rav Safra was, somebody came to Rav Safra and asked Rav Safra that he wants to sell this, he wants to buy something for Rav Safra at a certain price. And Rav Safra did not react to that because Rav Safra was in the middle of reading Krishna. And then the buyer did not know that that was what Rav Safra meant. So he kept on raising the price. And then when Rav Safra finished davening, he took the original price. He said, I had intention to take that price, and that's enough for me to be chayiv. Because that's the level of a Yerushmayim. And his decision to buy something, his decision to make a transaction, even though there was absolutely no kinyan, was not necessary for him to feel obligated to keep his word. So the Masham says, based on this Gemara, that whenever we see from here, and we've often discussed this, the what is the concept behind kinyan? So the Masham says, this Gemara is a proof to a concept that we often discuss. We often discuss that there's a that the theory behind kinyanim is gemiras das. The fact that the person had a seriousness to do it. And the Gemara is saying that by Rav Safra, he was serious about doing this deal. Since he was serious about doing this deal, that was enough to make it into a deal. Here too, whenever we do a kinyan, the point is that we have a gemiras das to do a kinyan, and the gemiras das is what makes us obligated. The Gemara says, and I saw that Rav Safra was a Yerushmayim. So the Bnei Yisachar in a Sefra Agra de Parka says that we find people who are who do the right thing. And we try to understand what's driving them to do the right thing. He says, our Gemara is teaching us that it's the Yerushmayim. The Yerushmayim is what drives them to do the right thing. And that's why the Gemara says, Hoch be Yerushmayim askinan. A person who's a Yerushmayim does the right thing. And I saw along the same line that Rabbi Yoel Dessler in his Sefer Michtav Melio explains that there, even the word emes and the word sheker, honesty and dishonesty, people have their own definition of what's called emes. And people have their own definition of what's called sheker. Says Rabbi Yoel Dessler, what is the perspective that should be used on determining what is emes and sheker? The perspective is the perspective of a Yerushmayim, says the Mishnah. And we begin now a series of Mishnayis that discuss honesty in transactions, honesty in weights. So says the Mishnah, a sitoin is a person who's a wholesaler. He buys large amounts and he sells them to many customers. And the way I saw the Mefarshim explain, there are a number of people mentioned in our Gemara. We have a sitoin. We have a Baal Bayis. He's the person that owns the field where the produce comes from. He sells very large quantities, but he doesn't sell them often. Then we have a sitoin, the person that we just mentioned, who's a wholesaler, but he sells things much more often. Then we have a chenveni who sells smaller amounts, but he has a store and he sells them on a less frequent basis. And since he sells them on a less frequent basis, that's why he uses his weights much more often. So says the Gemara, Hasit Mekanach Mekidosav, a sitain washes his weights Achad L'Shloshiyoyim every 30 days, and Baal Bayis, who sells maybe larger quantities, but not so often, Echad L'Shloshiyoyim HaSachadish, once every 12 months. But says the Mishnah, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Chilf HaDvarim, it's just the opposite. The sitain, since he's constantly selling, there's never a time that his weights should absorb what he's selling, that they should become not honest, they should become inaccurate. Whereas a Baal Bayis that doesn't sell so frequently, it's more likely that his kalim, his weights, will absorb the oil, the wine, and therefore he should sell it, he should wipe it more frequently. I saw that the Sefer Or Pnei Moshe explains the Gemara Mishnah as follows. Hasitain is somebody who's a tzaddik and always is doing what Hashem wants. The halach is he does it once every 12 months, every 30 days. What does that mean? Every Erev Rosh Chodesh of Kippur Katan, he checks if he's doing what's right. Baal Bayis is a person who's a regular, who's not a tzaddik. He does it once a year on Yom Kippur. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Chilof HaDvarim. Tzaddikim, person who's a tzaddik, who doesn't do what's wrong, for him it's satisfactory to do it once a year, because he doesn't have what to do tshuva on. However, somebody who is not that level, so he has a lot to do tshuva on. And since he has a lot to do tshuva on, that's why he has to check it every 30 days. A chavani, who he is, we explained earlier, uses the weights even more frequently. Kanech, he has to check it twice a week. Moreover, memacha mishkaloisav, the chavani who has these weights has to clear them. Pamach b'Shabbos, they're going to once a week. Otherwise, they're not going to be accurate. Mekanech hamaznayim, and he has to wipe off the weight, the scale, every time he puts meat on it. I call mishkol mishkol. Every time he uses it, he has to wipe it because there's residue in the meat. There's residue, and since there's residue, we need to be more concerned that it's going to accumulate in the pail on the scale and it'll make the weight inaccurate. Amar Shim Gamliel, to which Rav Shim Gamliel says, "B'medvam amurim b'lach." When it was this halacha said, when you're measuring something which is liquidy, meat has the grease, wine, oil, ava b'yavish. But if you're measuring something that's dry, fruit, etc., ain't it tzarech, because there's nothing that's going to accumulate on the scale. The chayiv, and now the Mishnah teaches us another halacha which we're going to be discussing in our coming shiurim, and that is chayiv lachri lo tefach. Because we're so anxious to make sure that what we're selling in an honest fashion, so when we sell something, we have to tip the scale a little more in the favor of the buyer to make sure that he's getting what he deserves. The Rishonim debate, is this halacha always applicable, or is it only applicable if you sold a minimal amount of meat? Says the Mishnah, Hayu shokalai ayin b'ayin, if you're selling exactly the measure that was contracted, nice and like gerumim. You have to give him, the seller has to give the buyer a little more than what he contracted for. Echad lasar belach, and what the Gemara is going to say, it means 1/100th when you're selling a moist, a liquidy thing. Echad laesrim, but Yavish will see in the Gemara, that means 1/400th when you're selling a dry thing. Says the Mishnah further, Makam shnagul lamed bedaka, in a place where they measure things small portions at a time, la yamed begasa, we shouldn't sell, measure in a large way. Begasa, in a place where it's measured with a large measure, then the halach is la yamed bedaka. Every way has its own advantages, and therefore we have to follow, we'll explain this more, we have to follow whatever is the minhag of Medina. Limchait, in the place where the minhag is, when you sell something, you don't sell, you don't heap, you don't put on an extra heap, la yigash. So the halacha is that you're not allowed to sell a heaping measure, even if the buyer is going to pay for it. And a place where the minhag is ligdash, to sell with a heap, la yimchait, you're not allowed to sell it flattened out. You have to follow the minhag of Medina, because if people should not do different, even though you may have a deal with the seller, this is what I'm doing, but that doesn't help you because all the people don't know what you're doing. And since all the people don't know what you're doing, they're going to come to make a mistake. Here we're learning that you have to do, so ask the Gemara not immediately. We just learned that when you sell, you have to do achra, you have to let the tip. Ask the Gemara, from where do we know this halacha? Amr shlokish amr kra. The pasuk says, "Evan shleim v'tzedek yilecha." The Torah says that you're supposed to use an evan shleima. So, if the Torah already said that you have to use an evan shleima, why does the Torah have to use the word tzedek on top of it? Says the Gemara, the pasuk is telling us, "Sem mishalach v'tenloi." Give some that belong, even give something that belongs to you, which you really don't have to sell, but give it anyway. Ask the Gemara, Yachi Eim HaSeifa. So then, let's continue learning the Mishnah, ask the Gemara. If they're selling exactly to the weight, the loch is nice and gerumim. You have to give a little more. But ask the Gemara, Iachra deraisa, if the loch is that you have, the Torah says, as the Gemara just explained based on the Pasuk, that you have to do this extra. So if the question is, how can we have a situation that you gave exact? Says the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. In a place where the minig is that everybody does hachra, that it becomes an obligation. Why does it become an obligation? Because it's based on the pasuk that we just learned. The chi itmed Reish Lakish. When did Reish Lakish say his halacha? A seif itma. It says, to which asked the Gemara, Menali Mili, that there's a halacha of gerumim. And answered the Gemara, Amish Lakish, Damakra, Tzedek, Tzedek Mishlacha, Vetenloi. And however, explains the Rashbam, what the Gemara means to say is like this. In a place where there's a minig to do achra, so you have to do achra, because that's the minig hamakam. If there is no minig hamakam to do achra, if there is no minig hamakam to do achra, so then the pasuk with tzedek mishlacha v'tenloi teaches us that you should give a little extra. The kamigruma, how much is a little extra? Amar Rav Abba, b'mamal, Amar Rav, echem nasar b'litra b'lach, lasara b'litrin. So ask the Gemara, how do we understand these measurements? Echel lasar b'lach, v'echel lasar b'yavish, how much is it? Ibar luhu, ask the Gemara, Hechi kamer, what was meant? When we meant echem misar b'lach, v'chol asar d'lach, that means 1/100th, 10th times 10, v'echem esem b'yavish, lesem b'yavish, which would mean 100, oidilma, echem yasara, lasar d'lach, that's going to be 100. And when we speak about the yavish, it's going to be las esrum the yavish, it's not going to be 1/100th, it's going to be 1/200. And the Gemara says, Teku, the Gemara doesn't give us a clarity what is the halacha. The question that the Chishukei Chemin asks, here our Gemara just told us that we have to go out of our way to do achra, to give the little extra. The question that he asks is, you have a store, and the store doesn't pack, it sells bags of sugar, it sells bags of flour. He doesn't pack those bags of flour or sugar. He gets them from whoever he buys. And whoever he buys from doesn't do so, doesn't make achra. Does he have an obligation to do achra? Or once he got it without achra, he's just selling what he sold, what he bought. And he doesn't have clarity to this answer. He does say one of the places that where it's obvious that achra should be done, one of the places that's obvious that achra should be done is when you're buying matzahs from a matzah bakery. So if you're buying matzahs from a matzah bakery, clearly he says that the right thing to do is to, the person who owns the matzah bakery is weighing the matzahs, should put in a little extra based on what we just learned in the Gemara. So he asked the question, let's say the matzah bakery did not do what they were supposed to do and they didn't put an extra matzah into that bag. Will that be considered a mitzvah baba aveira? The halacha is that you're supposed to put an extra. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. May I use the matzah? So he says, it's certainly not considered a mitzvah baba aveira. The mitzvah baba aveira, the kashrus of the matzah are not dependent on the achra. And therefore, even though it was appropriate to do achra, it won't affect the kashrus of the matzah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Levi, kosher, onchin shall meet the siyosim, onchin shall arise. Somebody who isn't honest is worse than somebody who is immoral. Shazah, by somebody who is immoral, nemer behen. The pasuk says, kias kol ha-tevis ho el, also anchi arz ha-shalof neichem. The person who is not honest, the pasuk uses the words ketavus Hashem alakecha kol esa ela. The Torah adds the word hey, the extra letter hey ela. Says the Gemara, my mashmud hay el kashahu. How do we see that el means that you did something bad? The ksiv, the pasuk in Yecheskel speaks about what the Melech Bavel will do to Yerushalayim. Yecheskel says nevuah that Melech Bavel is going to come to Yerushalayim and make a treaty with Tzidkiyahu, who was the Melech, that Tzidkiyahu should not rebel against them, and he's going to take Eilei Ha'aretz. He's going to take the Eilei Ha'aretz, the strong people, as a guarantee that he won't violate his deal. The pasuk says, "This Eilei Ha'aretz lokach." Says the Gemara, "Arayis namiksev," but Arayis the Torah also uses the word Eila. Because the pasuk says, "Ki kol hashiyas mekol ha'tel v'sa'ela v'nikrasa nefashas ha'isus." Answers the Gemara, that pasuk is coming to teach us hahulam muti midas mekaris. If we're saying that the Torah used the word te'eva by being dishonest, and the Torah uses the word eila by dishonesty, so we would think the punishment for dishonesty should be the same as the punishment for immorality. Where there the chiyuv is karis, here too it should be karis. The answer is that there's only karis by arayis, not by midos. So ask the Gemara, here we're saying that midos is worse than arayis. In what way is it worse? El mayat fayu. Answers Gemara, hosom, by arayis, efshe b'tshuva. By arayis, you could do tshuva. And of course, Taisa says that that's only if there was no mamzer born because of your immoral act. If there was a mamzer born, you can't do tshuva. But many Rishonim disagree with Taisus. And they say that even if Rachman Tzlan, you did, there is a tshuva, even if Rachman Tzlan, there is a mamzer, you have to do what you have to do. You have to try to do tshuva. If the fact that there's a mamzer doesn't prevent the tshuva. However, if you don't know from whom you stole, you have no way of doing tshuva because you don't know to whom you should return what you stole from. Of course, the Mefarshim ask. The Gemara says that if somebody doesn't know from whom he stole, he should do with the money Tzorche Rabim. So why don't we say he should do Tzorche Rabim? So the Rishonim answer, Tzorche Rabim is not really considered a full-fledged tshuva. Tzorche Rabim is considered that you do the best you can, but nobody could claim that doing Tzorche Rabim is something that is a real tshuva. By Arayis, you could do real tshuva. Moreover, by Gezel, the person whom you stole from may not be here. And since the person that you stole from may not be here, it'll prevent you from being able to do tshuva. But when it's Arayis, it's Ben Adam Lamakim. And when it's Ben Adam Lamakim, then you could always do tshuva because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. The Sefer is everywhere. The Sefer, Amuda Yonason, explains why is Kosh Anshin Shalmidus Yosem Arayis. He says, because we know, the Pasuk says, the Gemara says, Bocha Habakkuk Bamida Malachas. Habakkuk reduced all the mitzvah to one mitzvah. The Tzadik Bamunasa Yichya, we have to live with Amuna. Somebody who cheats shows that he doesn't have Amuna, because if he had Amuna and he believed that whatever we're supposed to have, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have, we'll have, then he wouldn't cheat. And that can't be corrected. I saw from the Alexander Rebbe another explanation. He says, we know that the Torah HaKadosh says, the Chazal teaches, the Recheretz Kadmu LaTorah. The Recheretz is more, is the foundation of everything. So explains the Alexander Rebbe. If somebody is dishonest, he's lacking in Derech Eretz, he's a person that can't learn Torah. And our purpose of being in this world is to learn Torah. And therefore, somebody who is not careful in his business dealing will not be able to learn Torah, and he has no existence in the world. It's worse if you steal from a person than you steal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we speak about somebody taking something from Beis HaHekdesh, the Pari says, Nachvesh kisechto mala mal b'Hashem, that he right away is considered, if you steal from somebody else, the Torah says, you're right away considered a balavera. It says, Nefesh kisima mal v'chata. It doesn't come right away. And Mefarshim explained, because Hegdish, the pasuk we know, Meloi Kalaretz Kavoidai. So until you actually used it, it's not considered that you did something wrong. Whereas when you take something from somebody else, even if you didn't use it, but that person no longer has access to it, and therefore it's considered a greater avera. The Dubna Magid explains this Gemara with a mashal. He says there was a person who stole. He always stole from his father. And the father did not react. One time, the son, Rahman's son, stole from somebody else. And right away, the father was very upset. And the son asked the father, I've stolen from you many times, and you haven't reacted. Why now, if I stole from another individual just once, do you immediately react? He said, the father said, when you stole from me, it was my money, and I, as a father, wanted to be mikel you, I wanted to forgive you. But when you stole from someone else, that's not something that I could forgive. And that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's what the Gemara says, Kosho Gezel Hedi Yosma Gezel Gevoya. If we steal from our Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course we have no right, Chas V'Sholom, to steal from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I can be Meichel you. But I can't be Meichel if you steal from another person, that's not something that I could be Meichel. The Svarim HaKadoshim explain along the same line. If you steal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wherever we are, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And since wherever we are, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's easier to do tshuva. But when we steal from an individual, that individual may not be here, that individual may have passed away, so it becomes much more difficult to do tshuva. And therefore, of course, we have to avoid any gezel, but the Gemara says, kosher gezel hadjit, the gezel shall hagdish.